Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 42 of Nerd Pride Radio. 42? I searched forever for something on the number 42, and for the life of me, I can't find anything sufficiently nerdy. You know what I'm talking about? I think I'm just going to have to let this one go. I hate to go an episode without doing the whole number spiel, but I feel like such a failure. I don't know. So ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like 7 other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place where I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my head anymore. Our sponsors this week include the letters H and G, as well as the number 6. All right, and the interesting thing about our sponsors for this week, I wrote this intro about 6 weeks ago, because obviously, as usual, I took a long, long break, and I'm not even going to bother to justify it anymore. I'm working to get better, but you know me, I'd hate to make promises that I can't fulfill. But anyway, I wrote this whole spiel like 6 weeks ago, and then at the time, I thought, the sponsors H, G, and the number 6, I thought that was really funny. I remember thinking that was really funny as I wrote it down. And now as I'm reading it off, I can't remember why. So if anyone can figure out my joke and why that would have been relevant 6-7 weeks ago and why I would have thought that was cool, it must have been some kind of topical something or other. I have no idea. Anyway, I'm too deep for me. I'm not smart enough for this show, clearly. But you know what? There's no time to mumble. We've got all sorts of stuff ahead of us, and it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me, where I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week or whatever. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy life, I add it to my master list, and then the best stuff from that master list gets spewed out all over you guys every time I record. You lucky, lucky dogs. So straight into the master list. First off, hey, that's right, it's time for some feedback. Okay, first up, Akiva. Akiva writes and says, and I think this might have been something he wrote to me on a thread on the forums. I don't know, it might have been a private. No, it's out on the forums. Either way, after the last episode, he says, Mike, you need to stop being so modest. The spread of nerd culture into the mainstream that you discuss on your podcast is your own doing. Do you think it's a coincidence the things you mention happen after NPR had a chance to, NPR being me, not the National Public Radio people, after NPR had a chance to spread and seep into the American psyche? Take a bow. All right, now I'm going to break in here and point out, since it's been such a long time since the last episode, that he is referring to my bit on how mainstream nerd culture has been. This is a theme that I hit repeatedly. And in this particular case, it was talking about the White House's response to the Death Star petition, as well as William Shatner tweeting to the guys on the International Space Station. And I talked about how mainstream we are and how, I don't know, how accepted some aspects of nerd culture have really begun. So Akiva is giving me full and well-deserved, I might add, credit for making this sort of thing happen in our society. But wait, that's not all. There's more feedback. I also got a private message from... Oh, see, private message. This is, I'm telling you guys, the best way to contact me. Go to the forums, sign up, post out on the forums, send me something by private message. I read the forums every day. I follow every thread. I will respond because I love you guys. I love my forums. Anyway, this is a message from, a private message from Eric with AK. And Eric says, so your kids go to Scouts, and I'm a Scout, but from Canada. All right, well, welcome, Canadians. And he asks, so are girls allowed to, I assume Eric is a he. I shouldn't make those assumptions, but I assume he is. He asks, so are girls allowed to join Scouts where you live? Because Scouts Canada allows girls to join. Also, does your Scout group have a name like the one I go to? It's called First Chimanus. I assume I'm pronouncing that correctly. If not, send me another note. All right. These are great questions. Actually, yes, scouting in America, it actually involves two main branches, the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, and they are two separate organizations, and they do some joint projects together. And certainly, there's shared leadership in some cases and this sort of stuff. But in general, Boy Scout troops and Girl Scout troops, they operate independently. They operate separately. They have, different, tracks for advancement, which, you know what? I didn't even think about this before, when I first saw your question, but that has always bugged me about Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. I don't mind that they have separate programs because especially, I mean, it's, you know, when you're talking about junior high, high school age, there's some awkwardness in doing stuff, in an intergender sort of setting. Although 4-H manages it and they get by just fine. But I don't have a problem that they're going to separate it, but I do have a problem that they don't have the same requirements. So for example, canoeing, when we go out canoeing for Boy Scouts, if you want to earn your Boy Scout canoeing badge, there's all sorts of things that go along with it, not the least of which is, you know, you have to show that you can paddle and steer a canoe correctly. You can do it with a partner. You can do it by yourself. You have to show that you can get out in the middle of the lake and flip that canoe over and successfully get the canoe righted and back to shore. You know, there's some work involved in here. Girl Scouts, the Girl Scouts in our area, they do shared activities with us, and they come along for our canoe stuff because they hate their own canoe badge, and they would much rather do it with us and get to tip over the canoes and the whole business. Because the Girl Scout badge, you want to earn your canoeing badge for Girl Scouts, you're not required to do half of that. I mean, obviously, they're okay with the girls learning how to canoe as long as they don't have to get wet. I mean, that would just ruin it, right? So, so there is some differences between the programs. It's not all equal, but I'm straying from the topic. Yeah, we have separate ones. And then for the younger Scouts, Boy Scouts have Cub Scouts for the younger boys that they start off as Tiger Cubs and they progress up through the various ranks, until they become Weeblos and then move on to Boy Scouts. Whereas Girl Scouts, I don't know what the younger group is called. I mean, I know they start with Brownies and they have like 3 ranks, I think, before they become Girl Scouts. I don't know the details because I don't have any girls. I've never actually gone through the program. I've only dealt with them incidentally. But also, do we have a name? Oh, by God, you bet we have a name and it's awesome. All right. My Boy Scout troop is part of the Mid-America Council. There are several councils around America, that cover huge areas. And the Mid-America Council, I believe, covers, Nebraska, Iowa, parts of South Dakota, or maybe parts of Kansas. I can't remember. Anyway, it's a fair area and that's the Mid-America Council. But then the Mid-America Council is divided up into districts, and our district has the world's greatest name, and I'm not going to reveal it to you yet because that was our original name. And then we merged with another district and we wound up becoming the Many Rivers District, which is boring. All right. And then after a while, we realized that Many Rivers was just too spread out, that the leadership were mainly in 2 larger towns, and the towns were so far apart that it was really tough to come together for joint leadership stuff. And they ultimately realized that even though the districts had become a little bit smaller, it was a lot more effective for them to split up again. So we split up and we all took a vote and we decided to go back to being Diamond Dick. That's the most awesome name ever. So I love that. I have a patch for my uniform that says Diamond Dick right on it because that's who we are. Diamond Dick, by the way, was a famous native of this area. He was a frontiersman, Old West dude. He was actually part of Buffalo Bill's traveling show for a while. Kind of a man of many talents. But his name was Diamond Dick. And that's what we are. So, pretty awesome. I don't know, I could go on and talk about Scouts forever. I don't know if that's going to bore you guys or not, but my oldest just got Eagle Scout, and we are so proud of him. My youngest two are working on, they, in fact, what, in a week, 2 weeks, they're going to go to the big ceremony, the blue and gold ceremony, and they will become, they will earn their tiger rank and their bear rank respectively. And then son number three is just now earning his life scout, which means he's going to get to start on his eagle project and work towards being an eagle scout himself. Anyway, we enjoy scouting, and I'm glad to hear that there's other scouts listening to the program. For me, it's a ton of fun. I have an issue with some of the policies, specifically their policy on sexual orientation. I'm glad to see that the prevailing attitude is trending towards more tolerance of gays within scouting, in scouting leadership positions, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm hoping, I know that they're revisiting the topic now, and I'm hoping that we see some change there. So it would be good. That's my one big holdup. And the one thing that makes me nervous, when I start talking about scouts and talking about how much I love scouts, as I'm doing right now, I have no problem talking about scouts, but the one reservation I have is that, yeah, you know, but everyone knows about the gay thing. Everyone knows that scouts have this hang up on gay scouts, gay leaders, and it's rough. It is a rough position to be in. So I'm glad that we're changing. I'm glad to see that, that things are moving in a direction that I'm happier with. Because I know that that puts a lot of people off of scouts, and it's too bad because scouting is a great, great organization. And that is such a, for the most part, it's such a non-issue, or it should be such a non-issue, because sexuality is not a topic that should come up for any reason in scouts. I mean, you know, that they, you know, the scouts know that as a leader, they know I'm married, they've met my wife, they've met my kids. You know, if we had a gay leader in there, then okay, you know, if he's married, she's married, whatever, and they know who the partner is, whatever, but the actual topic of sexuality, discussing what goes on behind closed doors, well, that's not even appropriate for kids. Why would anyone care? It's not, you know, it's something that's not, I don't even know why we consider it. I don't even know why we're worried about it. We just let it go. Anyway, but that's enough of my soapbox. I shouldn't be doing this now. Let me look on over here and see what else we've got. Oh my goodness. Next on the master list, updates. All right. Here's the sad part is, when I wrote this, I put updates, no further celebrity deaths in our Nerd Pride Deadpool. My brother still leads with Dear Abby. And then there's one more point, but oh, you know what? That's no longer accurate. Again, I wrote it 6 weeks ago. Hang on a second. Let me go look at the thread and see where we are. Oh yeah. Here it is. All right. My brother still got 6 points for Dear Abby. I have 5 points for C. Everett Koop, which did put me in a comfortable second place, 1 point away, until, of course, I warned you guys about this right at the beginning, that Yancey was just right there on the edge with Hugo Chavez. Yeah, now he's got 42 points. Hugo Chavez went over. And my wife has Roger Ebert. I had Ebert for years, and apparently he's had a recurrence of his cancer, and he is cutting back on his workload as a result, so he can focus on his health and on his treatment and his personal life. So, you know, things could go either way, but right now, commanding lead from Yancey with 42 points. Holy cow. Watch this space. I'll keep you guys updated. Also on my updates, I have Pope Battle. See, that's what I wrote down. Pope Battle. No, you know what? I'm not doing Pope Battle. But what I am doing is a hero battle. You guys will love this. Honestly, come over to the forums, sign up, and go look at, there's a Hero Battle Plus forum. It's like the fourth or fifth forum down. And here's the way Hero Battle works. We come in, it first started off with actual superheroes. But then we did, you know, super villains, and then we got weird and we did horror movie villains, and we've done politicians and we've done celebrities. Right now we're doing one hit wonder battle. Anyway, whatever the category is, all right, I should back up. Let me start over from the beginning. First off, Hero Battle is a game that I have stolen from other forums. I have seen it played in other areas. We've kind of refined it. We've got our own set of very specific rules. But I have seen the game played on other forums, and it's usually called something like Hit, Hit, Heal. All right? No matter what, everyone puts in a name. Everyone's got one character that they put in. So for right now, we're doing One Hit Wonder Battle. And so the nomination so far, Aha with Take on Me, Billy Ray Cyrus with Achy Breaky Heart, Men Without Hats with The Safety Dance. These are our one-hit wonders. And when it gets all done and we have all of our players in, and we've had anywhere from 8 players in a game all the way up to, I think, 22 is the most we've ever had. I, as the game master here, the moderator, I compile all of those names, and everyone starts off, all of the characters start off with 8 hit points or 10 hit points or however much we set for this particular battle. And then every round, every day, I post up and go, okay, round one, go. Everyone's got 8 hit points. And then everybody who's playing, they post up and they pick 2 names that they're going to hit and 1 name that they're going to heal. Every hit takes off 1 hit point. Every heal puts 1 back. All right. So the net effect is there's 2 hits for every player and 1 heal for every player. So ultimately, totals are going to get reduced no matter what you do. And if you ever get down to 0 hit points, you're dead and you're out of the game. And then we mix it up, right? There's some complications in it in that I randomly assign who gets what hero, so you'd never get your own back. So whoever you nominated, you try and nominate somebody everybody's going to hate, everyone's going to want to kill. Anyway, it is a ton of fun. It is super easy to play. Each game takes probably about 2-3 weeks to play. Usually, yeah, about 12 to 15 to 18 rounds, something like that. Sometimes shorter, sometimes longer. But it's really simple. All you do is come in, put in a name, and then once the game gets going, it takes you 5 minutes a day. You come in, you put in your hit, heal. If you want to pay more attention, do the guesses, do the other complicated stuff, great, you can do that. But you don't have to. All you have to do is stop in every day and go hit, heal, I'm done. All right? I really encourage everybody, come in and join. The more the merrier. The game, I think right now, if I don't get anyone else in, if I don't get any new users from here, it's probably going to be like 8 or 10 players. And I prefer to have something like 14 or 15 or even more if we can get them. But if you guys want to join up, come sign up. NerdPrideRadio.com/forums. Sign up for an account and look for the Nerd Battle Forum. Come in and join us. We're doing a one-hit wonder battle. Don't you want to punch Billy Ray Cyrus in the face? This is your chance. But enough of this housekeeping stuff. Now it's time for a Nerd Culture Report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, sorry, Gonzo, but you are very, very close. Okay, here's the deal. Just this week, Cartoon Network apparently came to an agreement with Netflix, and a bazillion Cartoon Network original series are now on Netflix. You can get season 1 of everything, from Dexter's Lab to Robot Chicken to Metalocalypse, if that's your thing, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, other Adult Swim stuff. Venture Brothers. I've never watched Venture Brothers. Can you believe it? I'm watching it from the beginning. I'm like 4 episodes in. Love the Venture Brothers. All right. There's just all sorts of stuff. But Adventure Time, Cow and Chicken, The Powerpuff Girls, Regular Show, 1 season of everything. Go watch them. Holy crap. All right. And so I love these shows. I love them. I love Adventure Time. I've always loved Adventure Time, but I've never actually watched all of them because I catch them whenever I catch them. And so I'm getting a chance to watch all of season 1 from the beginning. And then after that, my son says he owns a lot of the next season on his iPod. So I may be watching those there. Or hopefully Cartoon Network gets around to releasing the rest of them onto Netflix, which would be awesome. But anyway, I am loving this, and you guys have to go do this. Netflix, for $8 a month, I'm not that I'm pushing an ad, but if you already have Netflix, or if you were teetering on the edge on whether or not you should get it, God, for $8 a month, free streaming, all this Cartoon Network stuff. You can't pass this up. All right. But on top of that, one of the ones that I was excited about when I saw it, and I didn't realize how, I mean, I was excited just to see it, Johnny Bravo, all right? But I forgot how much I love Johnny Bravo. I forgot how subversive that show is. It's brilliant. My older boys, they were little when Johnny Bravo was out. Johnny Bravo, Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls, this is their little childhood. I mean, when they were little kids. And now that they're teenagers and the one's almost out of high school, this is a big deal for them to go back and get to catch this stuff from their youth that they haven't seen since then because we don't have Boomerang. And they especially want to share it with their little brothers who are now the same age that they were back then. And it's just really fun to watch. And so season 1, episode 3 of Johnny Bravo is the episode with the Schoolhouse Rock guy. And then two-parter, the next segment is the Scooby-Doo gang. Brilliant. It was always my favorite episode of Johnny Bravo, and we just watched it again last night, all of us, and hysterical, hysterical good stuff. So I go out onto IMDb because I'm checking the voices Because, I mean, obviously, look, the Schoolhouse Rock guy really was the Schoolhouse Rock guy. The Scooby Gang was, the people who actually played the Scooby Gang at that time. This was before the movies, so, it wasn't Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze and them. But it was the original Frank Welker and others. And, Casey Kasem, for goodness sake, playing Shaggy. And as I'm looking for the voices, I noted that, the voice of the little girl, Susie, little Susie in Johnny Bravo, little Susie was played by a 9-year-old Mae Whitman. You don't know who Mae Whitman is, do you? I'll tell you who Mae Whitman is. Mae Whitman is also the voice of Katara from Avatar The Last Airbender, who she played as a teenager. Holy crap! I did not know that. I love Mae Whitman's work. So I thought that was really, really cool. Who knew she'd been doing voice work since she was that little? But more interesting than that, do you know who the storyboard editor was? I mean, we're just talking art department stuff, but storyboard editors do an awful lot of the writing and construction. You know, they take the script and then they actually put it all together into a real show. Do you know who the storyboard editor was for that particular episode of Johnny Bravo? Seth MacFarlane. Are you kidding me? Before Family Guy? Apparently he was in cartoons, well before Family Guy. And so where did he cut his teeth? As a storyboard editor and as a, writer for Johnny Bravo and Dexter's Laboratory. Holy crow! You know what? And it makes a lot of sense because actually that particular episode of Johnny Bravo, I mean, again, doing Schoolhouse Rock and Scooby-Doo, that was so Seth MacFarlane. I mean, that is so much. He loves parodies like that. He loves doing these whole rips of an entire style. It was impressive. And, you know, you may have some issues with Seth MacFarlane over different stuff. But in general, he's a funny dude. And he's entertained me a lot over the years. There's some of his stuff that's gotten a little old now. But he has been generally very entertaining for a very long time. And apparently this is where he got his start. I just thought that was cool. I had no idea. Anyway. That's it. Cartoon Network, Netflix, go watch it all. Have a great time. Holy cow. This is, you know what, when you're laying around in bed at night and it's time to go to sleep, this is what happens to me. I'm ready to go to sleep, but, you know, I kind of need that little time to wind down before I get there. Yeah, do I want to turn on a repeat of Family Guy that I've seen a million times? Do I want to watch The Daily Show or Colbert, depending on exactly when I go to bed? Or do I want to turn on and watch one episode of The Venture Brothers, something brand new to me, fresh original that I haven't seen or at least haven't seen in 10 years? Oh, this is good stuff. I am really enjoying it. Anyway, get on the bandwagon. Join me. You'll love it. It brings me to my next segment, something I haven't done in a long time, longer even than how long it's been since my last podcast, comic timing. In fact, it's been so long, I think I've only used comic timing once. I don't even know if I have a sound clip for it. I'm going to leave a blank space here and maybe fill it in later because I don't see it on the board right now. Hold on.
It's just, you know, you're just funny. It's funny, you know, the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny how?
In recent weeks, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts that aren't mine because obviously I have no new episodes. And I've heard interviews with, let me just go through them in order. The first one, Brian Posehn. All right. I heard, Brian Posehn on the Walking the Room podcast. And do you know what Brian Posehn is doing right now? Brian Posehn, who is one of my favorite stand-up comics. Love him. Love him, love him, love him. And, he is, in fact, when I do my Nerd Rage, which I'm not going to do this week. No, I told you I was gonna, but yeah, we'll put it off for another week again. But when I do my Nerd Rage, and I have the recorded Nerd Rage voice that comes on behind it, that guy, that's Brian Posehn. I love Brian Posehn. Anyway, you know what he's doing now? I mean, among all the other projects that he does, he's writing the Deadpool comic. Oh, is that not cool? Oh, I'm so excited by that. And then I told my oldest son, who is a huge Deadpool fan, and collects the comics. That's where I get them from, is from him. He's like, really? That's awesome. Who's Brian Posehn? Oh, what a letdown. But for me, super cool. Brian Posehn is an awesome, awesome nerd. And he is a funny, funny dude, and he brings it all to the table on Deadpool, and it's a really, really good piece of work. And actually, also, when I say listening to podcasts, also, Brian Posehn has his own podcast, Nerd Poker, which, if you haven't listened to Nerd Poker, give it a shot. It is Brian Posehn and like five of his friends who are all, by the way, in the comedy business. They're all, comedy writers. They work in TV. They work in movies. They're all connected in some way to the business. And, Nerd Poker is the six of them sitting around playing Dungeons and Dragons and recording their sessions and telling old war stories about past games and stuff like that. And it's really funny. I mean, it is normally I don't go in for these actual play podcasts because I just, listening to someone else's game, no matter how good it is, it's really tough for me. I'm just not into it. But with these guys, again, they're funny dudes. Well, and girls. I'm using dudes as a unisex generic, I suppose. Funny people and entertaining stuff. And they're not doing anything spectacular. It's a D&D game. And they're having a lot of fun with it. Tune into Nerd Poker. Go find the podcast. Listen to the first two or three episodes, see what you think. I think they're up to like episode 19 now. Give it a try. It's worth something. All right. And then, next up on my list, speaking of Seth MacFarlane, Seth Green, who is obviously a voice on Family Guy. He is one of the creators and movers behind Robot Chicken. He is Scott Evil. He's been in a million things. Buffy, obviously. I love Seth Green. I've always liked Seth Green. I think he's cool. All right. I just thought he was a decent dude. And he's about my age. And I'm listening to an interview with him on the WTF podcast with Mark Maron. And Seth Green is as cool as I always imagined he was. He just has this relentless positivity. He's a sci-fi superhero fantasy nerd of the biggest caliber, just like the rest of us, right? And he has this optimistic spirit that I just really relate to. I mean, if you've listened to Mark Maron, you know that he's a great interviewer, and he really works at getting to the root of where people come from and, what kind of things drive them and their neuroses and their issues and their, and with Seth, it was just like, no, it just, I've got a pretty good life. Things are going well. Oh yeah. No, I've had some trouble spots here and there, but yeah, you know what? I always look on the bright side, and he just really does. And he's just fascinating to listen to. So, for a little bit of nerd inspirational attitude, listen to Seth Green in any kind of interview. The guy is so much fun. But that's not the big one. Also from the WTF podcast, I heard an interview with John Hodgman. And if you don't know John Hodgman, he has been a Daily Show correspondent. He's a writer, but also most famously, he's the PC guy from the Mac versus PC, the Apple commercials, where Justin Long gets to be the hip, cool Mac, and John Hodgman is the stuffy, nerdy, business-like, nebbish PC. And, that's John Hodgman. And he says, actually, in real life, he really is PC. That's not just for the commercial. I mean, you would assume doing all those commercials for all those years, you would assume he would get tons of Mac products. But apparently he really does use a PC. John Hodgman is just this wonderfully, pretentious, but self-aware, pretentious sort of figure. He's just nerdy and wonderful and fun. And I liked listening to him because he's telling this story of his childhood, where he talks about being such a geek, but such an affected geek, that he intentionally adopted the attitude of being a stuffy 40-year-old when he was still, 15 years old and tall and gangly and covered with zits. And it's just sort of that's the persona he always wanted. And it took him until he was 40 years old to grow into it, really. But just a great guy. And what I took from his interview, this was my best. He was talking about nerds or geeks, or I can't remember what term they were using it. And he was contrasting that in this interview with Mark Maron. He was contrasting that with, hipsters. And Mark was trying to get a line on, okay, well, what's the difference really? I mean, that if you're into this sort of culture and you're into these sorts of things, what makes the difference? If you're going to be a follower of Doctor Who or Star Trek, or if you're gonna, follow these fashion, what's the difference if you're gonna be, just a straight out geek, or if you're gonna be a hipster about it? And Hodgman's point rang so true to me. He said essentially, look, true nerds love their obscure knowledge. Whatever their particular obsession is, they love it because they genuinely find that fascinating. They find that stuff absolutely hypnotizing, and they just want to share it with the world. They want everybody to see how cool this is. As opposed to hipsters who love obscure knowledge as a way of gaining status, was his words. As a way of having a secret knowledge that you can use to make yourself feel superior to those who don't have that same knowledge or who are late to the game in acquiring that knowledge. You know, it's that joy you get of being the first one to discover a band that later makes it big, being able to say, oh yeah, well, I knew them way back when they were just playing little clubs out on the, you know, that kind of thing. That you love being in on that. And then once everybody knows about it, oh, well, now they've sold out. And so Hodgman was saying that, you know, hipsters, they like to hoard their cool stuff. And then once everybody knows about it, well, now it's no longer cool. You know what? It's too mainstream now. It's passe. That's old. Now we need to move on to something else, something new. That they will, your hipsters will have what seems like, an obsession. But they're willing to let that thing go because, well, you know what? It's kind of old now. Everyone's in on that. As opposed to those of us who really nerdy. One, again, the reason it rang so true to me was that's what I'm doing here is, yeah, you know what? I can make commentary about how nerd culture is becoming mainstream and how we're more accepted in some of these areas. But more than anything, I'm doing this podcast because this is the stuff I love and I want you guys to share with me. I want you guys to do the same stuff. I want us to have the same basis of reference and we can work together and share and explore and find new cool stuff. And I've lost my point. I got so excited that I completely lost where I was going with this. But that was the difference. And again, I'm listening to Hodgman go on about this and explaining it in detail. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's exactly it. I have, my son has a friend who I've known for years. I've known this kid since he was little. And I love him. He's a great guy, but he has, in the last year or so, he's been, I don't know, it's a search for identity, a search for what makes him unique. And he was the first of their group of friends to be into Doctor Who, or at least he thought he was. And my son got a really cool, TARDIS lamp for Christmas. A really cool TARDIS lamp. And he brought in a picture and he's showing everybody a picture of his new Doctor Who TARDIS lamp. And this one kid who will remain nameless was just, you could see he was like legitimately angry. He was like, no, that's Doctor Who is my thing. I can't, oh, that's, you know, and I don't even know why I'm not mentioning his name because anyone who knows him will know exactly who I'm talking about. He also, has when going to various events, and everyone needs to dress up, he wears a bow tie. That's his affectation. He puts on a bow tie. And I've always made jokes about it. I always thought it looked cool. He looks good in a bow tie. It worked for him. That was just his style. And so at the last big event, I came up to him and I made some sort of comment. He wasn't actually competing, so he was just kind of dressed down a little bit. And I came up and I said, oh, you know what the worst part about this whole event is? He goes, what's that? And I said, no bow tie. I'm missing that. He says, yeah, you know what? I gotta stop wearing the bow tie. I'm like, what? Really? Why? And he says, look around. Look at how many people are wearing bow ties. And when we say look at how many people are wearing bow ties, I'm talking about like a gathering of a couple of thousand high school kids and there's like three wearing bow ties. And he's like, look at how many people are wearing bow ties. I can't keep doing that. I'm gonna have to find something else. Wow, really? Oh, that's so, and again, you know, he's a high school kid. He's 16, 17 years old. He's finding out who he is. He's trying to figure this out. I'm not gonna knock him too hard. But it's just odd to see that sort of attitude. It's so alien to me that I want to give something up because someone else likes it. That just doesn't make any sense to me at all. I don't get it. Anyway, that was it. Brian Posehn writes for Deadpool. Seth Green is the coolest dude in the world. And John Hodgman, excellent, excellent point about nerds and hipsters. I love these guys. It was just great stuff to listen to. It made me feel good, about my nerd culture and my nerd identity. I really enjoyed listening to these guys. Whoa, we are so far in. You know what it's time for now? The science fiction double feature!
Science fiction double feature!
That's right, here at Nerd Pride Radio, you get not one, but two great movie reviews for the same low, low price. And actually, technically, I'm going to cheat here on this double feature, because technically I'm talking about movies, two movies here, but one of them hasn't even been released yet, and I'm really only talking about the first one in order to get to the second. So, all right, you know what? I get them where I can get them. You guys are just going to have to deal with it. The first movie I'm going to talk about is Adventureland. I had never seen Adventureland before. We just saw it on DVD a couple months ago. I really enjoyed Adventureland. Holy cow, that was a lot of fun. It was, it's set at the Adventureland amusement park, which is just like any, you know, rinky-dink, amusement park from that day and age, set in 1987, which was the summer right before my senior year of high school. So this is, you know, giving me kind of a, nostalgia flashback sort of feeling that, you know, hey, these are my days. This is what we did. This is okay, cool. I can deal with all of this. It was just a good story. And surprisingly, Kristen Stewart was really good in this. I mean, yeah, she's still playing Kristen Stewart. It's still the same thing she always does, but that's what she was supposed to do in this movie. And, for the first time ever, I found myself entranced by Kristen Stewart. I enjoyed watching her on screen. I loved her performance. I loved the movie. It was a lot of fun. So again, I'm only bringing this up so I can get to the next point, but still, Adventureland, yeah, good 4-star movie. Go see it. It's a lot of fun if you haven't yet. But here's the more important part. As I do with most movies, I get done watching Adventureland, and a couple days later, I'm out perusing IMDb, looking at who's in it, where I've seen all these people before, what else they're doing. And one of them is, man, I can't even see the whole name here. Ah, here we go. Here it is. All right. I get to the actress Margarita Laviva, Russian-born actress. She's nearly 30 years old in this movie. She's playing a college-age sexpot kind of character. She played Lisa P, was the name of the character in Adventureland. But Margarita Laviva. And I'm sure I know her from somewhere, but I'm looking her up on IMDb, and I don't. I've never seen her before. But as I'm looking through her credits to see where I might have seen her before, she is going to be in an upcoming movie called Knights of Badassdom. Yeah, Knights of Badassdom. Well, there's a title that catches your eye, so of course I'm going to click through on it. And it's set to be released later this year, supposedly. I'll have more on that in a minute. But the movie summary for Knights of Badassdom says, basically, a bunch of LARPers accidentally summon a real demon. Chaos ensues. Well, you've got my attention. Okay, so I'm looking at Knights of Badassdom. Again, it's about LARPers, it's about real fantasy stuff, it's about, all right, this is awesome, I can do this. I scroll down to see who's in the rest of the cast, see if I recognize the writers. You know who else is in this movie? Peter Dinklage. Wait. Steve Zahn. Steve Zahn. Oh, I love Steve Zahn. The guy has awesome comic timing, great character actor. I love Steve Zahn. Summer Glau? River Tam is in Knights of Badassdom? Why have I never heard of this movie before? Okay, so I'm going down, I look at the writers. Two dudes, all right? Kevin Dreifuss, Matt Wall. Both, I've never heard of them. They have no other writing credits, either one of them. And in fact, they have barely any IMDb credits between them. So I'm actually finding this really, really promising. I can't tell you how... This is like the first time... for me, it's like the first time I heard of Tucker and Dale versus Evil. I saw the concept for the movie and I thought, this is going to be some good, cheesy, stupid fun. And I was not wrong. Tucker and Dale was an awesome, awesome movie. And so that's how I feel about Knights of Badassdom. I'm looking forward to this. Now the downside, as I look forward to it, I see that, there have been some releases of early editions of it. And that it's been bought and sold and bought and sold, and the people who have picked it up and are putting it out for re-release or original release or however it terms it, like I say, but the people who have charge of it now are looking to make huge changes to it. They really want to revise what's in there. They're basically editing. They're taking what by all accounts, people say was a really, really good cheesy B movie. And they've taken all of that original footage and they're not shooting anything else. They're just editing down what they have and reordering it and making a, what they think is going to be a more marketable movie. And again, people in the know are saying, oh, really kind of stupid, which is a shame. But I'm, you know what? I'm not going to judge before I see it. I'm really looking forward to this. It's Knights of Badassdom. I mean, even with that title alone, what is there to complain about? This is going to be cool. Peter Dinklage, Summer Glau, Steve Zahn in a stupid ass movie like this. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Hopefully it actually really comes out somewhere this summer, or at least maybe I can see it on video, by January or something. Hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed. I have too much stuff. I already told you I am skipping the Nerd Rage this time. We'll put that one off till next time. I had a write said thread. That's right, because I am too sexy for my forums. I'm putting that one off. In fact, I may not get back to that one because it's not so timely anymore. But what is it time for? That's right, the badass movie quote of the week. This movie is from 1999, the greatest year for movies during my lifetime. I love everything from 1999. And this particular movie, well, let me just do the quote. Quote, "We went for breakfast in Canada. We made a deal. If she'd stop hooking, I'd stop shooting people. Maybe we were aiming a little high." End quote. That's right. That Mel Gibson as Porter in the movie Payback from 1999. And the movie was fun. I've never seen Payback, but I've always kind of wanted to. And then I saw that it was from 99 and I thought, well, now it's fate. I have to go watch the thing. And I watched it all by myself late at night and just had a good time. It was a lot of fun. It's pulpy and it's cheesy and it's very 90s in that, there's some things that it wants to be super gritty, but it's just not quite gritty enough around the edges. I don't know if that explains it properly. But you know what? It's Mel Gibson being a hard ass. And it's Mel Gibson being, the street level Jason Bourne. And it's just fun. I had a great time watching it. I wish I had seen this with a group of dudes back, you know, in college or something like that, where we're all sitting around having a couple of beers and, you know, laughing at the quotes. And I would have loved that. But, anyway, good movie. That was my favorite quote out of it. That leaves us with nothing but the Pod-O-Matic! Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on our forums, and I will add it to our Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And so far, R2's rolled us a 66. Rolled down, and that is from a Mr. Serious Paul. Serious Paul asks, "What's your favorite sweater?" Really? What a bizarre question. My favorite sweater, I don't wear sweaters anymore, but my favorite sweater back when I did wear sweaters was one that I bought while I was in high school, and this was in 1987-ish. I spent $130 on this sweater in 1987 while I was working for $2.50 an hour scooping ice cream at Baskin-Robbins, all right? So this was an investment, and it was this huge knit thing. It was beautiful. It didn't have that fuzzy, itchy quality of a lot of sweaters. And woven into it was Snoopy. It was Joe Cool. It was a bright red sweater with this larger than life Snoopy on the front of it. And I loved that sweater. I loved that sweater a lot. Girls liked that sweater. I don't know why. I loaned it out to a lot of people, and always wound up getting it back. And my wife even still wore it on rare occasions. I mean, this was 20 years ago. But when we were first married, still wore it on rare occasions, to school even. And then finally, I don't know where it went. It just kind of, it got old. But, you know, for a good 10 years, that was a great sweater. Really like that thing. Number 19. This is from a Mr. Brasky. Brasky says, if neutrinos really can travel faster than the speed of light, what kind of implications does this have for Einstein's legacy? And what does it really mean anyway? Well, I'm glad you asked that second question, because the second question will answer the first one. It doesn't really mean a whole lot, really. So far, every bit I've ever seen about faster than light travel in general always talks about how, well, you're sure you can travel faster than light, and they always bring up this headline as if to say Einstein is somehow wrong. But then it's always a, well, working within relativity, here's this. And so it's always a way that something moves faster than light, but without violating relativity. Well, you know what then? Einstein's legacy is completely safe, because so far, relativity has held up. I mean, you know, 100 years and dude's still right on the money, all right? So that's pretty impressive record as far as I'm concerned. Number 51. This is from Dire Cat. Dire Cat asks, if they started drafting people into the army and you were drafted right now, what would you do? I would question the sort of system that really, really wants a 43-year-old fat dude in their army. But having said that, well, I'd serve, obviously. Look, I'm too old for the draft. I'm not there. But if I were called up, I would serve. I've always said that. I was registered for the draft for, 9 years or 10 years, however long you're supposed to be registered for the draft for. I was registered, and had there been a draft, I would have served. That's just what you do. I wouldn't have liked it, would not have been thrilled about it, but I would have served. And, you know, hopefully would have done something that, you know, didn't get me killed. But, you know, that's what you do. Number 94. Hey, Brasky again. All right. You're running 50%. That's pretty good. Brasky says, fill in the blank. My least favorite D&D mechanic is... My least favorite D&D mechanic of all times, way back to D&D first edition, was the stupid weapons versus armor modifier table. Oh, holy crow. Do you even remember this? That they had a big chart that every weapon was listed along with every armor type, and if you cross-referenced weapons to armor, you got a modifier for that weapon versus that type of armor. Honest to God. All right? So, you know, slashing weapons have problems against plate armor. Piercing weapons have a bonus versus, it's just bizarre. All right, but it was every individual. But they didn't even classify it as piercing, slashing, bludgeoning like they do now. It was just this blanket thing of every weapon versus every armor. So all you know, there was no way of having some general guideline. No, you had to look up each individual one. And again, we never used it, so hard to say that I hate it because I didn't use it myself. But yeah, I hated it. Oh, what a terrible, stupid idea. The obvious answer to this question is, my least favorite D&D mechanic is, grappling. Okay, sure. Grappling, hand-to-hand combat, that kind of unarmed combat. Yeah, I can say that, but again, I've never really used the rules as written in any of the versions, so I really don't know how much I dislike it. If someone goes for a grappling, or something fancy in one of my current games, we play Pathfinder now, I wing it. I mean, it comes up often enough so that, you know, maybe I should really go learn the rules, but I don't. I mean, I'm looking at the sheet in Pathfinder and it's got, combat maneuver bonus, combat maneuver defense, and I'm using those numbers, but I don't know if I'm using them the way I'm supposed to. I'm just kind of faking it, and I've never had any real problem with it. So, least favorite would be that weapon stuff. Oh, and psionics. Oh. Jeez, I hated psionics. I hated psionics in first and second edition. I have no idea about third, and I don't know anything about fourth. Because in third edition, I never used psionics. I've never touched them. We tried a little bit when we played first edition. But in both first and second, you were looking at, rule systems that were just completely different than everything else. I mean, here we have this whole thing that should have worked something like spells, you would think, but it didn't. It was just a completely separate mechanic tacked on. So there was nothing intuitive about it, nothing that you could reference the rest of the rules and go, oh, okay, well, if I cast spells this way, then using a psionic power would be the same sort of process, but oh, no, it wouldn't. It was nothing the same. So there's another one I couldn't stand. Great question, dude. God, great topic for the forum. So I'm going to go post that up. Number 77. Sirius Paul. All right, Sirius Paul. He says, why do I have to eat vegetables? No, seriously. That was his words. No, seriously. You don't. There's nothing in the world says you have to eat vegetables. Honestly, I mean, okay, if you want to have proper nutrition, I suppose you should. But that's what multivitamins are for, my friend. Yeah, you don't have to listen to the man. Don't let them keep you down. Seriously, your food choices are your own. That's guaranteed in the Bible and the Constitution. Number 83. This one is from Zimney Pot. Zimney says, tell us a story that ends with you getting arrested. Okay. All right, I normally would not tell a story like this, but since you have asked, keep in mind, this was the 60s, Vietnam was going on, it was a different time, all right? But me and a group of friends had gone down to, and I'm not going to name the school, but we had gone down to the local college, and we had taken over the administration building, all right? And we were having what we thought was a peaceful sit-in, all right? But then it got a little weird, all right? And we had a couple of, I mean, when I say hostages, you got to note there's huge air quotes around the word hostages, all right? This is not like these people didn't know what was going on. They had plenty of time to get out. They chose to remain with us. But anyway, we were having what we thought was a peaceful demonstration, and then somebody, and again, not naming names, but somebody let the ponies out, all right? And it was, I mean, look, you think it's bad enough to keep things organized as it was. Imagine that you're doing your protest, you got your cops outside, you've got your hostages who, again, I would have called them willing hostages, but they're still stirring up trouble. They're there to make their own statement, all right? There's obviously, you know, you've only got the supplies that you brought in with you, and now there are five ponies running around loose in the building, okay? And that's where the problem started, because there was the mess. And obviously, look, these are just, they're equines, they're horses, they're ponies, they're panicked, all right? They broke the bathroom stall, they knocked over, I don't even know if receptionist or the secretary, you called it back then, knocked over that whole desk and filing cabinet in the front. Anyway, huge mess. Fortunately, and again, wasn't me, but somebody had brought a spear gun, and we eventually got everything under control. But of course, that didn't make any difference to the cops once we got outside, and I wound up going to jail for almost exactly 24 hours. It was 22 hours and 45 minutes. I can't even say I spent a full day in jail. But I did go to jail. I tell people I spent a full day in jail. Just like I tell people I'm 6 foot tall, but I'm actually like 5'11 and 3/4. I tell people I spent a day in jail, but it was actually just a little bit short. So, I've never actually been arrested, but that is a story that ends with me being arrested. 69, dudes! All right, this one's from Jeff Hawes. And Mr. Hawes says, you get to MC a geek convention with two other people. One can be anyone of your choice, and the other needs to be a big name that brings in the crowds. Who and why? Okay, my gut instinct obviously says the one that's my own free choice, Jeff Hawes. And, of course, my celebrity, Jeff Hawes. But when I start to think about it, I'm going to have to back off on both of those. First off, for my free choice, I would take my brother. My brother and I hosted a podcast together that I thought was one of the funniest things ever done. And he and I have a good rapport. We have good chemistry together. We work really well as a team. So if we're going to be MCs, I think we would bounce things off of each other really well. We feed off of each other. I think we would be incredibly entertaining as a comedy team, as a hosting team. So I would be very, very happy with that. And then also to join me, Joss Whedon. And why Joss Whedon? Because then I have a huge Joss Whedon party. If Joss shows up, then all the people that have worked on all of his shows all over the place, they're all there. I love all these people. Oh my God, everyone from Buffy, everyone from Firefly, from Felicia Day would be there, Nathan Fillion. I mean, this is, I would have so much fun at a Joss Whedon party. Oh, that would be great. And when you want big name to bring in the, imagine if Joss Whedon brings just a handful of friends. Yeah, we've got no problem selling tickets to this thing. We are making money hand over fist, my friend. This is going to be a great time. Thank you, Jeff. That was a good idea. Number 34. This one's from Brasky again. Brasky says, what's the worst thing you can be caught doing in a hotel lobby? Now, all right, you want me to say masturbating with a magazine. If I got caught masturbating with a magazine in a hotel lobby, I would be mortified. Even more so if that magazine was Highlights. Okay? But you know, there are worse things. I mean, I could be committing genocide in a hotel lobby. That would be worse than being caught masturbating, wouldn't it? Or would it? That is a tough one. Yeah, murder? Well, I guess genocide implies murder, doesn't it? And it's really hard to top genocide. God, why did I start with genocide? Genocide is something you have to build to. I did not think this question through. I apologize. I'm gonna have to go with the masturbating thing. Number 94. And this one is from Brasky again? This is the one we just did. Sorry. This was the D&D mechanic one. Sorry, let's try again. Whoa, double aught. That is so cool. Have we ever had a double aught before? Let me roll all the way down to 100, and this one is from a Mr. Zimney again. Zim says, have you ever collected those stickers that are on fruits? No, I have not, Zim, but you know who does? Yancey. Oh, it's bizarre. And sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse. It depends on how much fruit he happens to be eating. Sometimes he goes on a kick and he's bringing fruit all the time for snacks and stuff. But he quite often will peel the stickers off and then like along the front of his desk, just that whole front edge, he's just got a whole row of fruit stickers on there. I think they're still there right now. If I were to go up to the office and check, I think he's still got them on there. Or for a while it was going around the edge of the steering wheel in the van because he'd bring along fruit to snack on while he was on the road, on the handle of the little cart that we use. It's just kind of, I don't know if he does it just because he thinks it's funny or if he likes keeping track of it, that he gets that visual reminder of, you know, taking care of his health and, you know, being better about his nutrition. I don't know why he does it, but he does it. And there's always a variety of stuff. He's always wanting to try something different. So interesting. That is a bizarre question. Thank you. Number 82. This one is from a Mr. Sirius Paul. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Sirius Paul, Martian Manhunter versus Marvin the Martian, who wins? Oh, dude, is this even a question? Seriously? Martian Manhunter, who is a legitimate superhero, an established member of the DC Universe who has been fighting crime for years, or Marvin the Martian, who has never won anything and is routinely beaten by a rabbit? I'm going to go with Marvin the Martian because my brother has a tattoo of him on his arm, and Marvin is just way cooler. Martian Manhunter was always the stupidest hero ever. In fact, as long as I'm bringing him up, this is a story that one of my son's friends tells. They're watching something about Martian Manhunter, and he winds up in one of the DC cartoons. Anyway. Something bumps and a flame gets near him and Martian Manhunter lights up and I mean he just torches. And Martian Manhunter, who is, you know, normally pretty immune to everything, and suddenly he's on fire and he's just freaking out, just losing it. And so the kid, my son's friend, says, asks to the room in general, what is going on? And his older brother, acting like he's a complete idiot for not knowing, goes, duh, Martian Manhunter's allergic to fire. I'm like, and he says, his response, and I concur with him, his response is, dude, isn't everybody allergic to fire? I mean, I know I am. I can't tolerate fire. It burns me. So anyway, yeah, Martian the Manhunter, stupid. Marvin, any day of the week.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2013 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week potentially included some but not all of the following. Weezer's In the Garage, Wonderful World by Sam Cooke, She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner, Two Turntables and a Microphone by Beck, and or Science Fiction Double Feature by Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. Whether or not I used any of them this week, these songs are all available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't include them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you feel like doing something nice for this podcast, head on over to iTunes, write us a nice review, or check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/nerdprideradio. Stop at the Facebook page, click like, it's 9 seconds out of your day. Helps me out. Don't forget to check out the free games I have available on my free games page. Instant Game, Animal Ball, Melee, Sandbox Hill, and 2/3 of a dozen others, all free all the time. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com, and I promise I will actually respond to you. But to be totally honest, the best way to talk to me, come and sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. Sign up, send me a message, we'll hang out, we'll have fun. Number 10, Gore 2, Zimney Pot. Zimney says, if the whole world were listening to you right now, what would you say? Hi? No. If the whole world were listening right now, I would say, go buy my t-shirt. And then I would provide a link for that. Now, those of you who are listening, don't go look for a t-shirt because I don't have one. Because, you know, seriously, there's only like 30 to 40 of you and I'm way too lazy right now. But if I had 7 billion people listening and something like 1 or 1.5 billion of them would even understand English, I would tell them to go buy my t-shirt and then I would make sure that I had a t-shirt up for sale immediately. Because, I mean, even at the smallest fraction of 1% of those people buying my t-shirt, I mean, first I'd have to say something entertaining like I do. Every time I record a podcast, because you guys know I am wonderfully entertaining. But then I would also make sure I had something to sell, or maybe I could just pull the whole hardcore history bit and just ask them, you know, open up a PayPal account and ask them to just donate a buck. Just give me a buck a show. That's all we ask. That's what they say over at Hardcore History. And then here's the thing. After having 7 billion people listen, you know, if maybe that 1 week I get 7 billion, and then for the next episode I get, you know, maybe just 1,000 of them hang out. I mean, that would be a really crappy return. If you had 7 billion people and only 1,000 of them came back for the follow-up, a really crappy return, but I'd be thrilled with that. What a great start. Wouldn't that be awesome? So yeah, that would be my first words to the entirety of the world. I'd buy my t-shirt.